Hello, I'm Trevor Dan, and this is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
In the second part of this week's pod, David Lloyd remembers how radio coped with the death of Princess Diana. You'll hear from some of the people who were on the front line as the story broke 20 years ago this week, and you might be surprised, moved, and possibly appalled by some of the coverage, which is very much of its time. We've got the latest UK radio news as well from Stuart Clarkson, but first...
Fix Radio. While you shovel shit all day, we just talk it.
Fix Radio.
I've been to Battersea to meet the chaps, and of course they are all chaps, who've built a new radio station for tradespeople.
Fix.
Fix Radio is on DAB in London, online everywhere else, and it's already on course to break even by the end of this year. Not bad for a business dreamt up by a 24-year-old with no radio experience. We'll meet Louis Timpany in a minute, after a quick guided tour of the Fix Radio studio with veteran radio consultant Paul Chantler.
Fix Radio, the first tool out of van first thing in the morning.
Come on!
After Jimmy, of course.
Fix. Radio.
Trevor, come in and have a look at the studio.
Oh, so I'm laughing because it's covered with brick, which is appropriate. Is it real brick? No, it isn't.
No, it wouldn't be acoustic properly if it were real brick. But this is what we call our workshop. This is a studio, and we've covered three of the walls in mock brick. So it looks like that. And the reason we've done that is because it's very important these days for studios to look good on camera. So we've got some cameras here, which we use for live broadcast and for recordings. And we've got lights as well. And when we take photos in here as well, it just looks a bit different to a normal radio studio.
Let's have a look at the desk.
The desk is a Sonifex, exactly the same thing as you get in most radio stations. Plus, we use Zeta, which we love, and that's all linked into Selector. And we've got a screen which has got social media and everything, just like a normal radio station. But the thing that differentiates it is the look, and we deliberately did that because of on-screen, social media, and everything, really.
One of the really noticeable things about the radio station is that you are using music from several decades. Now, all the consultants, including, I may say, you, would say that's the wrong thing to do. You can't play music from the 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties. That's too broad a palette.
Well, I think if you're going for a specific target, such as Heart are going for 25, 44 females, you have to choose your music from that quite... Yeah, reasonably narrow range. But as you know, if you look at any building site or you talk to any tradespeople, there are tradespeople, builders of all ages, from, you know, 20s up to 40s and 50s. So in order to attract them, we need to pick a wide range of music. And what we try and do is make it up-tempo, rocky music that you can work to, and quite male-focused, really quite blokey.
How did you pick those records? I'm sort of imagining you, Paul, going to building sites and sort of listening to what they've got on their radios.
Well, funnily enough, in the early stages of development, we did some focus groups. We did other research, quantitative research. But one of the things we did almost a few weeks before we went on the air is we did some dummy broadcasts of the breakfast show, including the music, and we recorded them onto MP3 players. And we took, I think, about 15 or 20, and we put them on different building sites throughout London, and we played them all day, a sample day's broadcasting, and then we went back and asked people what they thought of it. And one of the things that people loved was the wide variety of music. And the one of the things that upsets builders most, the irritant points for builders in radio, is the fact that they listen all day because they're available to listen all day, and they hate the music being repeated every 2 or 3 hours, which is what you get, for perfectly good reason, on the Hearts, the Magics, the Kisses of this world. So we understand what. So we do a no repeat 2 days, a 48-hour guarantee, no repeat. And builders seem to like that. But they also like the wide range of music. But they want it to be up-tempo. They want it to be rocky.
Now, you mentioned that you're on DAB. Here's the issue. It's hard enough to get builders to get off medium wave, let alone onto DAB. Are people moving, do you think, in sufficient numbers?
Well, I'm not sure about sufficient numbers. They're definitely moving. And you can now go to Makita and other companies who supply these beautiful radios, which are specially strengthened for building sites. But we've found, generally speaking, a lot of builders do listen to DAB now, and it's becoming an increasingly more popular way to listen, especially in the vans, because all vans now, all new vans, come with DAB as standard. And so the ages of little old crappy transistors covered with paint are thankfully going.
You tell my decorator, Nigel, that. Before we go and meet Louis, whose idea this was, you are a consultant, so you consult with loads of people. What's your assessment of the state of health of UK radio right now?
Well, I think it's changing. I very much admire what Global have done, because they're the biggest operator and they've really made radio sexy again to the media buyers. And that's why they spend a lot of money with radio. Same with Bauer. I think all of the efforts they're making at the top with their branded stations attract other brands. I think that's brilliant. But I think that leaves an opportunity for companies like us. I call it narrow casting as opposed to broadcasting, because we're taking a niche and we're super serving that niche, both for advertisers and for listeners. We're delivering pairs of ears in that niche to advertisers who don't want to waste money advertising on big stations, which can miss their target audience. And they have to spend a lot of money to advertise on Heart or Magic or Absolute or something like that. With us, they can spend much less money, but they can very carefully target their audience. So I think that, and it's not just us, there's On-Call Radio run by UKRD, and On-Call targets people who like musical theatre and who enjoy songs from the shows. I think that's great. Chris Stevens's country station. Again, these are narrow casters, and I think we can make a living. We all know the listening figures. Fantastic that, you know, technology has allowed radio to thrive so much after all these years. And, you know, newspapers have changed, books have changed, the record business has changed. But radio, because it's on all the platforms and is easily adaptable, people still love radio.
I'm going to walk past this sort of memorial on the wall here, which says, Fix Radio, We're Nailing It, opened by Charlie Mullins, the richest plumber in the world. And there's Charlie's book. Shall we go and find Louis, the boss?
Let's go and find him. Yeah.
Come on!
Fix Radio. We play the songs other stations have forgotten about.
Fix Radio!
Chandler's Building Supplies, Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben, helping to build on our reputation.
Are we crazy?
Louis, most people at your age are just about making the coffee on a radio station. You've actually invented one and you're running it. Tell us, I'm sure you've done this interview 1,000 times, but when did you get that light bulb moment?
Yeah, so after university, I was trying to work out what I wanted to do in life, and I was working across 5 or 6 different building sites at the time, just earning some cash. And it was then that I realised that this is an industry that listened to the radio for the whole day. There are, across these different sites, so they're quite clear things that cause them to swap and change between different stations. And it was then that I started exploring whether there would be a gap in the market for a niche radio station targeted at that industry. So tradespeople.
You'd done business at university. Mm. What did you know about radio?
Not much, really. So part of the building blocks was to find someone that did know something about radio that could guide me through this process. And that's how Paul and I met about 2 years ago now. And yeah, he helped me from that part, that side of things.
We were both working at Premier Christian Radio. I was doing content consulting for them on the programming side. And Louis was in the sales side, selling advertising. And I was told one day I had to go and meet this guy called Louis, who had just started in sales, and to tell him all about the radio station. And we met in a conference room, and we spent sort of 20 minutes talking about Premier. And then right at the end of the conversation, he said, Paul, I've got an idea for a radio station. I thought, oh, no, because, you know, if you're a consultant, you get lots of people saying, I've got an idea for a radio station. Usually it's impractical. And Louis said, look, I want to do a radio station for tradespeople based on the experience he's just described to you. And I thought at first, but then you think about it and you think, well, actually, they're available to listen. We did some research, didn't we, Lou, and about the amount of money that was sloshing around in the business as well. And so we thought to marry the two, people who want to listen to the radio and people who are willing to spend money to reach them.
How easy was it to get some investment? Because you can't just set up a radio station in your back bedroom. Well, I suppose you can, but you can't if you're going to, you know, do it on a big scale.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing is putting together a good business plan that works commercially, that it's something that's scalable, and it is ultimately a good idea. And then it's just a numbers game, really, like a sales exercise. You need to speak to enough people and convince them that you're the right guy and you've got the right business to be a success.
And was it easy? I mean, did people open the door and just go, yeah, that is a cool idea?
In reality, I don't think raising finance is ever easy. It took over a year probably to get the initial funding that we needed to put a team together and start the business. So there was a lot of conversations that went place, but I believed in what we were doing and you know, it was just determination, really.
So you said scalable. Mm. You're on DAB in London, you're on an app and yep. you're online.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate goal?
I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We need to prove fixed radios to the London market, get the business to a position of profitability, and then it would be scaling up to either regions across the UK that have large numbers of tradespeople or ultimately onto a national multiplex.
Do you have examples of walking past building sites yourself and thinking, that's my radio station?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a Bacon Butty tour, which is going around and visiting sites. You know, there's lots of sites now that they're going to drop butties off, and fixed radios is already being played on there, which is brilliant to see. So, yeah, it's great to see that.
One other question I was going to ask you, this is not facetious at all, but aren't most builders in London Polish?
Some are. There's still a large proportion that are UK speaking and from the UK. What we've tried to do for those that are Polish or foreign, we offer it might be an Eastern European word of the day, or we'll play a Polish number one and try and offer something in our programming that is geared towards them.
So as you said, Lou, you're new to radio. Mm. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's been a fantastic journey. I've learned a huge amount and still am learning, but it's great. I've absolutely loved it, yeah.
Have you started mixing with other people in the industry apart from Paul?
Definitely. I try and spend as much time as possible with other people that have run radio stations or are involved in other radio stations so I can learn and improve, yeah.
Well, we wish you every success. It seems to be going really well so far. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's been a good start. We've been on air for 3.5 months. Obviously, the most accessible data at the moment is our online streaming, which has grown 15-16% month on month so far. So it's looking promising so far.
Which of the many little phrases you use, like "we're nailing it," is your favourite?
Oh, I don't know. What do you say, Paul?
We're nailing it, because he came up with it, so that's his favourite.
Go on then, we're nailing it.
Fix Radio, we're nailing it.
Louis, thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. We've been nailing it at Fix Radio. Let's have the news now. Here's Stu Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. This week, Bauer has dropped its 12-station City 3 network. It's replacing the stations on local DAB multiplexes with The Hits. The firm tells Radio Today it plans to reinvest into The Hits as a national digital radio brand on radio and TV. City 3 launched as a local variation of The Hits in 2015. A special radio play has been made about the birth of Classic FM. It'll air next week ahead of the station's 25th birthday. It stars John Culshaw as the co-founder and launch PD, Michael Bucht. Global's Radio X has been found in breach of the Ofcom code over a Sunday morning airing of a pre-recorded Russell Brand show. It included a discussion with an Elvis tribute act about sex at a time when the regulator said children were likely to be listening. Heart London managing editor Gary Steen is leaving Global after 4 years. The group says he's decided to move back to the Northwest to be closer to his family from the end of the year. Scott Mills has been announced as the host of this year's Radio Academy ARIA Awards in Leeds in October. Nominations will be out on the 18th of September, with Virgin's Kate Lawler and Matt Richardson announcing the shortlists at the next radio conference in London. And details of this year's Audio Production Awards have been revealed, with some new categories for this year. Many of the awards will also be blind judged for the first time, which means that judges won't be given information such as the name of the entrant or the company they work for when they're listening to the submitted audio. Entries close on the 22nd of September, with nominations out late October. You'll find more details at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd takes us back to 1997 next.
Visual Radio, smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments. It's 20 years this week since radio awoke to cope with a story which was to challenge programmers of all formats. What do you do when a beautiful young princess dies?
This is Radio 1 with the news that Diana, Princess of Wales, has been killed in a car crash in Paris. Her friend, Dodi Al-Fayed, and their driver also died in the accident late last night. There have been tributes from political and world leaders, and crowds of mourners have been gathering at Buckingham Palace and at the Princess's London home, Kensington Palace. There will be news updates throughout the day on Radio 1, and there is a continuous news service on Radio 5 Live on 909 and 693 Medium Wave.
The chart was on a Sunday afternoon, and I said to Jeff Smith, there's no way we can do a chart today. That's absolutely crazy. Both Jeff and I really thought that there would be a chance that either we would do a chart or Richard at Capital and the network at that point would do the chart. And we persuaded Matthew and Richard to have a conversation. I think we asked Matthew. We said, to the best of my recollection, that they did have a conversation and they decided it would be nuts to do that. And I think we got that one right. But that was a very, very odd day to be on the air, because you were doing something you just not expected.
This is Independent Radio News. The death of Diana, Princess of Wales, has been announced in Paris.
It's Monday, the 1st of September, and welcome to XFM, broadcasting on 104.9. We find ourselves starting a radio station today in circumstances we wouldn't have wished, due to the tragic death of Diana, Princess of Wales. As a mark of respect to someone who we saw as going her own way, standing apart from the rest, and being a remarkable ambassador in the struggle for the dispossessed, the sufferers of leprosy and AIDS, and the ongoing horror of landmines, we wish to dedicate the activities of our launch day to her memory.
Britain went mad, the whole world went slightly mad, I think, but BBC found itself in a very difficult position because it couldn't ignore this kind of steadily developing mass hysteria, but nor could it feed it. Now, I remember a couple of days after she died, going down to Kensington Palace, where there were these huge piles of flowers that people were leaving there, and long lines of people who were waiting to sign the book of condolence. And I did what you do, I did the vox pops. And the vehemence that was expressed towards the royal family really took me aback. I was shocked. I was very unhappy about the material that I was gathering, and I thought there was a risk that I was only talking to the most extreme people and that they had seen the BBC microphone and they had flocked towards me. So I suggested to the editors that we didn't actually broadcast it, because I thought it was possibly unrepresentative. Following morning, all of the national papers started to reflect this growing anti-royal feeling, and I realised I'd been too cautious, I'd been wrong.
One of the other most requested songs for this week, this tragic week, It's a Minute to Eight, Michael Jackson, Gone Too Soon. As Jackie wrote to me earlier on this week, this is one of the saddest moments in all our lives. The whole nation is heartbroken. But with all the love we have for Diana, she will remain alive in our hearts forever. God bless her. And may she now at last be at peace.
This is BBC Radio News from London. The death has been announced of Diana, Princess of Wales. She died in hospital in the early hours this morning after a car crash in central Paris. The Queen, Prince of Wales, and her two sons have been informed of her death.
It was an August bank holiday weekend, so we discovered that almost all our presenters were away. So the rotary looked okay. So you have one set of people away one week and a different set of people away the other week, without thinking that they're all away on a Saturday night. And we rang Eddie Mayer on his mobile, and he was in Barcelona, and we rang. So we were trying to put together a set of people who would work in the end on a Radio 4 and Radio 5 live joint programme. And where we were lucky was that Peter Allen was around and Jim Nottie was around. So we had a breakfast show that morning, which was Peter and Jim as a 4 and 5 live combination.
Goodbye, England's rose. May you ever grow in our hearts. You were the greatest place to sell.
Desmond Carrington in Scotland with you on Radio 2. On an occasion which, like most of us, I still can't really believe. Obviously, our intended programme of all-time greats has been set aside for the next 2 hours, and I'm simply going to play some music which I hope you will find helps to reflect the mood of the nation at a solemn and sad time.
Like a candle in the wind.
The Press Association has just announced that Diana, the Princess of Wales, has died of her injuries, according to British sources. There's very little I can say at that moment.
I mean, it was so mad. Yeah. People, I mean, this is a great thing about our profession. Yeah. People started turning up. You know, reporters had woken up and heard and just literally put on their clothes and started turning up. Yeah. Everybody wanted to be a part of this story, you know.
She was the people's princess. And that's how she will stay, how she will remain in our hearts and in our memories forever.
Loveliness we've lost.
And obviously at a funeral, the tone is different. And I was perched up there in my little commentary box, what, 12 or 15 feet above ground level in Whitehall. And I remember looking down as the cortege passed in front of me. And the first thing I noticed was the wreath of white flowers on the gun carriage that was carrying Diana's coffin. And on this wreath, there was a little piece of paper with just one word on it. And it just said, Mummy. And the two princes, William and Harry, were still quite young, and they were walking behind the gun carriage. I'm quite a sentimental old cove, and I sort of choked up a bit, but I managed to retain my professionalism. I described what I saw as the cortege passed in front of me, and on it went.
Your candles burned out long before your legend ever.
BBC Radio 1, Mark Goodyear, IRN, XFM, Robin Lustig, BBC Radio 4 and 5 together, Roger Mosey, Desmond Carrington on Radio 2, Talk Radio, Mike Parry and Robin Lustig again. This has been Radio Moments.
David Lloyd remembering August 1997 when the UK took out its collective onion. Does it all feel a bit over the top 20 years on? Well, we might discuss that on next week's show, which sees the return of the Roundtable. Simon Cross, Phil Maguire and Caroline Raphael will be with me, so please join us for that. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.